Oh, Father, we are so thankful for to come. We take off our shoes. We draw near by faith as your word is open to us. And we pray and ask together, you will give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, faith to believe. Quicken us according to your word this morning. We ask and we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love and enjoy exposition, going through books of the Bible. At the moment, we're between books. We're going to have a message this morning with some very important principles on our Christian faith. But before we do that, we're going to dismiss the Sunday school. God bless them. Some very important principles on the Christian life, on your Christian life, your walk with the Lord. So really take heed. Give your attention and let God minister to your heart. Okay? Two passages. I'll wait till they go because everyone's... Okay, two passages. The first is in Colossians 3 from verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The second passage is in Ephesians chapter 5. And it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the careful listener there may recognize that those two passages are similar. There is an overlap. There are things that are echoed in both passages. But there is a different premise or a different emphasis, if you will. You'll notice that the Colossians passage in chapter 3 begins with the words, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Right? But the Ephesians 5 passage begins with, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they continue in the same vein. Colossians 3 says, teaching and admonishing in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Ephesians 5 passage says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Then it continues, Colossians 3 says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Ephesians 5 says, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3 continues, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. And Ephesians 5 says, giving thanks always for all things to God. And they both go on to speak about submission, submission in the body of Christ and in relationships as grace believers, our heart attitudes towards others. But in these passages, in the emphasis, we see two all important aspects of the Christian life, and it is this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Those two truths, promises, realities are so important. You are called to them. These are imperatives or commands in the New Testament. This is your Lord, your God, who is commanding you in the economy of grace that you, this is essential and crucial. It's not an option for your walk with God, for your victory, for your blessing, for your furtherance, for your walk with God. It's not an option. This is crucial that you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. The result of them, as we read in those passages, is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The result of that is thankfulness and submission, or what we might call body life, whereas there is the fragrance of grace and the oil flowing down and the blessing of God that is commanded in this place, in your personal life also, when we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly and we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are speaking to one another. How do you speak to one another? Is it only foolish jesting? Is it only the weather and small talk and whatever it might be? And of course, that's fine. We're not hyper-spiritual. There's a place for that. What about this? We are speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There is a song there. There is praise there. There is an illumination, an enlightenment in our life that we share. That you have the Spirit of God in you, and so do I. That you have the Word of Christ dwelling in you, and so do I. And we have fellowship. There is something incredible that we can exchange. Yes, we come to church to hear sermons and to worship, but also body life, the exchange of His life and truth among us is so important. God forbid we would be a church where we come in and we sit and Jesus, amen, and we walk out. We miss something so precious if we do that. But we are part of a family, God's family. These are your brothers and your sisters, and they have a portion for you, and you have a portion for them. So thank you for coming this morning, because I need your portion. I need your gifts. I need your encouragement, and vice versa. We have some growing understanding of what body life is. It's more than just the people. There is something beyond that. There is the gifting, the anointing, the equipping, the members in particular of Christ's very body. When we have fellowship after service, perhaps it's good that we don't sit at the same table and talk to the same people all the time and have those same conversations. How about this? I look up. And I go and speak to someone that I don't normally speak to because maybe I have a word in season for them or they have a word in season for me. And I want to be aware of others, of people on their own, of new people and people that I haven't met before. I want to have a homework assignment from heaven. I want to connect with people. I want to learn people's names. I want to encourage others. I want to be a minister of life to people. I realize that church is not just about me and what I get out of it and when it's convenient for me to come or not to come, but I have a portion for others. I have a gifting for others, and I don't want to rob. I don't want to rob or be robbed of that. So how do we speak to one another? My dear friend David Knight, many of you know him. He's not here. He's in a church in Eastbourne. But remember, he came here for a season, and I remember him saying, oh, what I love is after the service, people are talking about the sermon or the word or what God is doing in their life. And he says, I love that. And that is something so precious in church life, something for us to develop and never to lose. And you know when that happens naturally? When we are filled with the Word of Christ. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We hunger for that fellowship. We hunger for that exchange. Last week we had a visitor from another city. And she was asking about, oh, how do you find a church? How do you look for a church? And as many of you perhaps know from experience, that's not an easy thing. And God lead people in that. But I essentially answered in different words, but in this way. Certainly there should be the Word of Christ, the Word of God that is there. For you to hear and grow in your understanding and grow in your faith, that the Bible is open, that there is teaching and preaching, and you have the opportunity to grow as a disciple. There should be the Word of God. And secondly, there should be a sense of the Spirit of God. You would sense a ministry. You would sense a blessing, a quickening. As you listen, as you worship, as you gather with a brother, you would sense that there is life there. It's not a dead church, but there is something living. So let's talk about these two things a little bit more. First of all, the word being taught. Now, there's no perfect church, and we don't hit every target. I'm sure we're growing. God lead us. But we have such a love and a value for the word being open and the word being taught. Many years ago, I used to be a pastor in Leeds up in Yorkshire. You may not know that. And I remember we had this precious brother from Ghana who came, John and his wife, Mary. And they landed in Leeds, and he came to us one morning, and then he told us his story. He said, oh, for Sunday morning after Sunday morning, I've gone to church, and I've been carrying my Bible, and I go into the Bible, and I say, where is the Bible? Where is the preaching? Where is the teaching? And he went from one extreme, the traditional type, or to the other type. He went and he struggled to find meat and good Bible teaching and sound doctrine. And he said, it's funny, he said, because there were two things that amazed him when he came. Number one, that you could go up to a tap and you could turn it on and clean, cold, pure water would come out. He couldn't believe that. He said, we have to walk to the well, to the next village. And he said, the other thing I couldn't believe, that there is no Bible in the churches. Because in his mind, England, that great missionary sending nation, he imagined he would be coming and people would just be praising God on the streets. He was somewhat disappointed in that. And then we had a small church, it was a new church plant. And he's, where is the Bible? Oh, there it is. And we had great fellowship with him for that time of church planting. Someone said, in fact, last week, another person said to me, sometimes when you listen to messages in churches, it's almost like a TED talk. You know what a TED talk is? It's like a clever, polished presentation with the stories and the application, and it's very appealing and it's entertaining. There is no Bible, maybe a few verses sprinkled in here, but not exposition, not Bible teaching. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. Oh, do you see that? Declaring the testimony of the Lord, presenting Christ and him crucified. Words, preaching. And he says, in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Where does it say that? Is it the next verse? Sorry, thank you. It's the next verse, verse 3. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. My speech and preaching were not in persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should be in the not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see that? What was important for Paul was the declaring of the testimony, the presenting of the cross, the teaching of the word. Not his persuasiveness, his natural presentation or charisma. But when Christ is lifted up, people are drawn to him. When the word of grace is presented and taught, we are set free. There is liberty. There is victory. Sometimes you just, preach the word, teach the word. So good. Reminds us, and we just went through the book of 1 Thessalonians together. Do you remember? Hello. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, Paul says there the similar thing. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and much assurance. And I personally see that what Paul is referring to there in both of those passages, that the power of the Holy Spirit spoken of there is the effect of the ministry and the teaching had on people's lives. It's not signs and wonders and miracles, and there's a place for that. But the focus and the emphasis here is that the Spirit of God was affecting people's lives through the Word. That the Holy Spirit was illuminating and teaching, and scales were falling off, and people were being set free by the power of the gospel. They were being saved and born again and converted, and their lives were changed. And they would say, how would that happen? Oh, it is through the Word, and it is through the Spirit. How do I go on from here as a Christian? Oh, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick and powerful. 1 Peter 5:2 speaks about feeding the flock. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 speaks about the Word effectually working and affecting your life. You should sense that as a Christian in your church life, in your journey, in your personal life. You should sense that, the effect of the Word of God in your life. For a very important principle for us to remember as Christians is found in Psalm 119:25, which says the soul cleaves to the dust. The soul, the soul, your soul, has the natural tendency to cleave to the dust. But the second part of the verse says this, so quicken me according to your word. And for you and I to realize these two potentials always in our life is to cleave to the dust or to be quickened afresh by the word and, of course, by the Spirit. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing. Certainly, reading and having devotion, that's important. But this says faith comes by hearing. For some reason, God has chosen to bless and use the action of preaching and teaching in a church. And when I hear, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And faith comes by hearing the word. And the Greek there is faith comes by hearing the word. The Greek word for word is rhema, a living word. So you could translate this verse this way. Living faith comes by hearing the living word. So we need the word. But not just in our church. And let's start there. Let's find a church that's teaching the word. And if you're not satisfied with this one, then that's fine. But go find a church that's teaching the Bible, preaching the Bible, and we do the best we can. We treasure that. But that's the first thing. But that's not all. You and I need the word of God in our personal life on a daily basis. In the morning is a good time. You seek him and you find him and you open the Bible and you learn to have a devotional life. And you say, well, I don't have that. I come to church on a Sunday and I'm encouraged. I go live my life and I come to church next Sunday and that's it. And we say, that's fine. We understand. We've all been there. But you have to develop a discipline. You have to ask God to give you the hunger and the passion. You have to have the Bible open. You have to learn not to have a dry reading through the Bible in a year or something, but learn how to have a passionate devotion of heart in God's presence. Maybe it's not long. Maybe it's a few minutes. But a few minutes can change your day, and a few days and a few weeks you get it. See how it goes. We're very aware of our physical food. We need to be more mindful of our spiritual food. For Psalm 51:5, says that God desires truth where? In the inward parts. God desires that you would let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I had a devotion with my children the other day from Psalm 119, verse 9. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto your word. And verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I would not sin against you. Right? There is an incredible power and provision you find as a young person, as an old person. I'm not pointing anywhere. I just point the young people. And for all of us, if you learn to hide the word of God in your heart, to let it dwell richly in your heart, it doesn't happen by accident. It's not this mystical osmosis. Can't get a drop download, you know, you can't download it. Like it takes time, it takes discipline, it takes reading the Bible, it takes meditating, it takes memorizing Bible verses, and it will be contested in your life. Have you ever noticed that? Coming to church or reading your Bible, having a quiet time, you ever notice that sometimes that's contested? Hello? Yes. God bless you. You made it here this morning. For some, they were contested and they didn't. Right? And maybe the longer we go as a Christian, we learn this. And I could say this of so many faithful, precious believers. I think of Thelma and Phil. And just God bless them faithfully. And, you know, and so many around this auditorium. It's like, it's a non-negotiable for me as a Christian. I need to hear the word. I need to be with the saints. And rain or shine, heat wave or monsoon, I'm going to do my best. It was like, I remember I managed to get hold of this letter. This is an old love letter. Where is it? From Phil to Thelma when they were courting, when they were younger. And I'm going to read it. It says, Dear Thelma, you are the love of my life. I will climb the highest mountain just to look into your eyes. I will cross the longest desert just to be with you for a few minutes. I will swim the longest, furthest ocean, just to be with you. P.S. I'll see you on Sunday if it's not raining. No, I'm kidding. We say, oh no, I'm gonna draw near to God. I know it's gonna be contested. I know I'm going to have to make some decisions, and sometimes I feel like I'm dragging my body, I'm dragging my flesh, and that's part of faith. We do that as a Christian. We take sides with God against ourselves sometimes. So, where were we? I've got the love letters up here and everything there. Where were we? And it speaks about the word dwelling in us. Notice these words. Dwelling in all wisdom. In all wisdom. This means when you allow the word of God to saturate your life, it becomes how you think. It affects your decisions. It affects your values and your relationships, how you relate to people. And years ago, you would have said this or you would have reacted this way. But now, the word of God is dwelling, and now something else. You are different. You are changed. You are affected in your decisions and what's happening in the world. You have a certain vantage point because the word of God is dwelling in you richly. Secondly, the Spirit of God, and I'll try and move quickly through this. You should certainly sense this in the church, that you are not only Bible taught, but Spirit taught. that there is the sense of illumination, that you are learning, that you have never seen that before, that you are growing in your faith and in your understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, we have not been given the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. And what are the things freely given? That's speaking of God's amazing grace extended to you and I. And you have been given the Spirit of God that you might know grace, that you might grow in grace, you may understand grace. So we should sense that in the church, that there is the oil, there is the anointing, that there is the teaching, that there is the Bible and the Spirit of God ministering. But again, also in my own life, how important it is that I am allowing the Word to dwell in me richly and also being filled with the Holy Spirit. There are many misconceptions about what that means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that it's evidenced by tongues or gifts or miracles or whatever, and that's unfortunate because that's not fitting, that's not biblically accurate. To be filled with the Spirit, to be quietly yielded to the one who is in you. For every one of us, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And this is why the Bible uses a different term, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are all indwelt, but we need a repeated and a continual filling. And again, that word's misleading. We already have the Holy Spirit in us, but we are yielded to Him to enable us, to teach us, to guide us, to bear fruit through us, etc. We realize our great need for dependence upon Him. We need both the Word and the Spirit. But what if we seek the Spirit, but we neglect the Word? That could happen. We are trusting, looking for an experience, but we are so subjective, so hyper-spiritual, so easily led, so subject to error, that if I am only seeking the Spirit and I don't have the Word of God to give me that clear, objective way and foundation, I can be easily led astray. In many churches, there is so much insecurity in Christian lives and in Christian churches. And they go into their Christian life like this. Am I saved? Am I spiritual? Am I anointed? Am I gifted? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I accepted? Am I loved? Am I? And the questions. And that person, God bless you, what you need is to have the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. For then it is not a question. You don't start your Christianity with a question mark, am I? But you start your Christianity with, I am. I am anointed. I am filled, you know, by faith. I am accepted. I am loved. I am saved. I am valuable. I am precious. I am a member of the body of Christ. Why? Because the Bible clearly lays it out and shows me that wonderful reality. But what if I have the Word and the Spirit is not ministering? This is the other side. And we see the evidence of that also. Sadly, many precious churches where there was fire and oil and revival many years ago, now they are like empty museums. And they maybe still are, you know, reading the Bible and reading the creeds and singing the hymns or whatever. But something is missing. Something is lost. Something beautiful. The life has gone. And the temple, how beautiful it is, the temple in Jerusalem, but without the presence of God, it is just a building. It is just a room. It means nothing without God's presence being manifested in that place. And what happens is people lose the wonder. They lose the hunger. They lose their faith, essentially. They may be left with a theological faith, and they hold on to that, but they don't have a living faith. Church history testifies to that. So we need the Spirit of God to give us life. And we pray for that, His visitation in our assemblies and His quickening and filling in our personal life each day. But where there is the Word and the Spirit, and here it is beautifully, Where there is the Word and the Spirit, there is illumination, there is growth, there is revival. There is hunger, there is thirst, there is thankfulness, there is submission, there is the speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There is what? Fellowship. There is something that flows down from heaven and then something that goes back up to heaven in that place, and how beautiful that is. We pray for it. Pray for one another. We pray for our church. We pray for our spiritual journey of faith. May God teach us this and lead us in it and bless it to us. Amen? So, Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to be gathered in faith. We thank you for your Word and your Spirit. Oh, and we turn that into a prayer together. Oh, Lord, help me to have your Word dwelling in me richly in all wisdom. Help me in my devotional life, reading the Bible, having prayer, times of faith. Oh, I know it's contested in my life. Lord, help me. Lord, I pray for your Spirit to be so evident in my life that you would teach me how to yield, how to trust, how to be filled, how to walk by faith. And we pray together for each one here. You would answer this prayer. For our church, you would answer this prayer. If there's any here or listening online, and you are not sure about your faith, even about your salvation, oh, listen, Jesus is the Savior, and he loves you, and he died for you to make a way for you to be saved by grace through faith. Put your faith in him, even in this moment. Say, Jesus, save me today. Quicken me, lead me in the way. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.